Blog Talk Radio.
The Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to, first of all, take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday to Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. But first, let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. Again, at this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God.
Heavenly Father, it's Friday. You woke us up again, and again this morning, to see another beautiful sunrise. Thank you for seeing us safely to another week. Our family is healthy. Our bills are paid. We have food and shelter, and we are thankful and blessed. We praise you in advance for opening doors for all who need jobs, for healing the sick, and for keeping us and our families covered under the shadow of your wings. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
That he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? If Jesus walked the earth today, sometimes I wonder what he'd say. Would he lend a hand to help his fellow man? Would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray? Simply tell the Father thank you. And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? 'Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Looks like you, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? Some would ever see, and you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. He looks like you. Jesus.
Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all 9 of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Acts of gratitude. In Micah 6, verses 1 through 8, and it says, listen to what the Lord is saying. Stand up and state your case against me. Let the mountains and hills be called to witness your complaint. And now, O mountains, listen to the Lord's complaint. He has a case against his people. He will bring charges against Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? What have I done to make you tired of me? Answer me, for I brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from slavery. I sent Moses, Aaron, and Miriam to help you. Don't you remember, my people, how King Balak of Moab tried to have you cursed, and how Balaam, son of Beor, blessed you instead? And remember your journey from Acacia Grove to Gilgad, when I, the Lord, did everything I could to teach you about my faithfulness. What can we bring to the Lord? Should we bring him burnt offerings? Should we bow before God Most High with offerings of yearling calves? Should we offer him thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Should we sacrifice our firstborn children to pay for our sins? No, O people. The Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you: to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your with your God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. Acts of gratitude. Few people knew me better as a boy than Francis Allen, the pastor who led me to Jesus Christ. He was a near perfect example of the gentleness of God's love. Early on, Francis recognized a tendency in me to try to buy approval by working harder than expected and doing more than people asked. These are good traits to give as a gift to others, he would tell me, but you should never use them to buy acceptance and love from people or from God. To help me understand this, he told me to read Jesus' promise in Matthew 11:30, that his yoke is easy to bear. A statement that sometimes seems too simple to be true. Then, pointing to Micah 6:6-8, he said, now read this and ask yourself if there are any gifts you can give God that he doesn't already have. The answer, of course, is no. Then he went on to explain that God cannot be bought. The gift of grace is free. Since this is true, what should be our response? To do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Malachi, Micah 6 and 8. I learned that these were acts of gratitude, not of purchase. Grace is free, and faithful living is our grateful response. God's works are not the means of salvation, but the result. Amen. To God be the glory. I hope you enjoyed that story and apply it to your life. At this time, I will play another selection.
Belongs to you.
Amen. The God El Rohi, the God who sees. You see, we ask you to act on our behalf when you see us wronged unfairly. We ask you to defend and vindicate us when you see us accused unjustly. When others toil less and yet receive more reward, we ask you to see the diligence and tendency of our heart and open doors for us that only you can open, because you see, you do not see us as humanity does. You do not judge by external experience, external appearances, or by what the world esteems. You see our heart, and we pray now what Nehemiah prayed so long ago. Remember us with favor. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection. And again, welcome to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And now, all to the glory of God.
All to the glory of God. All to the glory of God. In all that we do, no matter where we the fullness of his blessing. Nothing is possible without God. We come to know his mercy, humbling ourselves to his mountain. Far as the eye can see, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. His love knows no bounds. His goodness always true, and he's coming in the clouds.
Restore our souls brand new.
All to the glory
Amen. El Salai, which means God, my rock. I bless your name. You reign over all. You stand strong and tower high, like a mountain of rock jutting up from the earth's surface. You are not swayed or moved when storms come. Upon the strength of who you are, I find a firm foundation to build my life. You provide my salvation and the stability of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. At this time, I will play another selection, and after this selection, I will come back with our devotional message. Amen. Praise God.
Somebody lift your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Give strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say. Come on, if you know he's awesome, say. Lift your voice. Forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice.
He's mighty.
He's mighty.
He's mighty.
He's mighty.
the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Celebrate the awesome God.
Oh. Oh, he's awesome. Amen. Our God is awesome. And now it is time for our devotional message, which is entitled, Walk with Him. Amen. Praise God. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalms chapter 84, verse 11. And it says, The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Whereas the Lord's determined will his inedible, the Father's desired will for your life is knowable in the circumstances you experience and through what he's revealed in his word. However, both God's determine and desire will require you to walk with him and to make a decision about who he is to you. The Lord wants you connected to him in an intimate relationship continuously. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Of course, that doesn't mean God is going to reveal every detail to you, but you can certainly know what he wants you to do in the choices that are before you as you walk with him. He will not keep his plans secret unless you refuse to see him. Jeremiah 29:13. This is important because there are times when we come upon crossroads and make decisions that we don't realize are setting the course of our lives. No matter how vigilant we are simply blind to their significance or impact on us and others. But when we are walking constantly with Christ, he always makes sure to direct us in the right way. There is no way to lose when you obey God. Amen. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. Amen. So let us pray. Jesus, we walk with you. Thank you for leading us perfectly in the center of your will. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Praise be to God. And that is our devotional message for this evening. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection.
Bread of life sent down from glory. Many think you were on earth a holy king, a carpenter, but you are the living word, say it now. Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Send down some glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you are on earth. A whole
king, a constant
God. You are the
living
word.
Awesome ruler. Gentile redeemer. God with us,
God with us, the living truth, and what a friend we have in you.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call you, yeah.
You
were born in a manger,
but on a tree you died to save man.
The Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus.
That's what we call you. You were born in a
Amen. God, my rock, I bless your name. You reign over all. You stand strong and towered high like a mountain of rock jutting up from the earth's surface. You are not swayed or moved when storms come. Upon the strength of who you are, I find a firm foundation to build my life. You provide my salvation and the stability of my time. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a word from the Lord. So in the meantime, I will play another selection. Praise be to God. When Hagar sat alone and afraid in the desert, you made yourself known to her as the God who sees. thank you for making yourself known to me, too, as the God who sees. Whatever trial I face, you see it. Whatever opposition arises up against me, you see it. Whatever health issues come upon me, you see it. Thank you for your attentiveness to me and for your willingness to reveal yourself as the God who sees. In your name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.
God, and that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And now I will play two more selections, and after that I will come back with a word from the Lord. Amen. Praise God.
Let me hear the worshiper. Where's all of my praise? Because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
God, every praise fill me up.
If you provide the fire, sacrifice. flow in my heart and permeate all my soul. All my soul is yours. All my soul, all my soul, all my soul, all my soul is yours.
Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of 1 John, chapter 3. 1 John, chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 1 through 10, and I am reading from the New Living Translation, but you can read from any one of the different Bibles that you have. But I choose to read from the New Living. Amen. And again, that's 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And it says, God is love. Living as children of God. Verse 1 says, see how very much our Father loves us. For he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world doesn't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure, just as he is pure. Everyone who sins is breaking God's law. For all sin is contrary to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live in him will not sin, but anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning, because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are the children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. Amen. So may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Let us pray. Holy Father, it is impossible for us to express our thanks adequately for the abundance of your blessing upon us. You are so gracious to grant us the privilege of being your children. We thank you for the gift of eternal life. We also thank you for all the material gifts you provide in the world about us. We make our gratitude tangible by bringing tithes and offerings to your altar. Bless the use of these gifts in communicating the wonders of your love and the measure of your mercy. Bless them to the relief of human suffering and to the enrichment of the human spirit. And may your name be honored and glorified in it all. Now, Father God, as I intervene on behalf of John Irish, I ask that you guide the surgeon's hands on Monday morning as he is going into surgery, Lord God. If it's your will, let it be done. Touch him and heal him in a mighty special way. Again, Lord God, wrap your loving arms around him and let him know that he is not alone, that you are there with him, that you are standing next to him, watching over the doctors and guiding their scaffolds, that they would remove all CA from him, Lord God, and it would let your will be done in his life. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. No work is more in imitation of God's work than that of making peace. For God is a God of peace. No one is more clearly demonstrated to be a child of God than the peacemakers. The person who, by his or her own character, examine and testimony is a reconciling influence in the world. Blessed are the peacemakers. How strange these words sound in our world today. For 2,000 years, people have been honoring these words of Jesus with their lips while their hearts have been far from him. By our lives, our action, and our words, we have said, blessed are the sowers of the discord, the foremeters, mentors of strife. But to paraphrase, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are, they shall be called. They are acting like the children of God. All of those described in Jesus' Beatitudes are the children of God. For Jesus is describing seven facets of one character, yet nothing demonstrates more clearly the character of Christ, the nature of God, than the effort to make peace. Excuse me. These three observations will set forth the truth of his seventh beatitude. Amen. Excuse me one second.
Praise be to God.
Thank you, Jesus. My text for this message is coming from Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, and it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And my title for this message is The Children of God. Amen. Now, the three observations will set forth the truth of this seventh beatitude. Number one, the need for peacemakers. Why are peacemakers needed so desperately in our time? Let's find out. Well, because of the enmity and strife on every hand. Enmity exists between man and God. This strife is as old as the human race and dates back to the Garden of Eden. Because of sin, man became separated from God. And because God's enemy, our enemies, fall into three classifications. Enemies according to the natural order, enemies by virtue of certain relationships that exist, and enemies because of the act and words of our lives until we are reconciled to God through Christ, his son, we are enemies of God on all three scores. Enmity exists between man and his higher nature. When a man is reconciled to God, civil war exists within his own soul, and his heart is a house divided against itself. In the history of Mr. Polly, H.G. Wells said of one of his characters, he was not so much a human being as a civil war. This is true of every person before he or she is reconciled to God. Amen? Enmity exists between humans. People glare at the fight one another as individuals. Group rises up against group. Race hates race. And nations make war against one another. Oh, the need for peacemakers. Because enmity and strife are so costly, number one, think of the cost of a person's being unreconciled to God. Jesus tells us plainly, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. Enmity against God is the source of all wretchedness. A personality divided against itself is unhappy and ineffective, and it means eternal death in the end. Number two, think of the cost of hatred and strife between people. Hatred works havoc to the hated, and more seriously damages the one who hates. Now, many a church has had its work all but nullified by the petty but bitter hatred of a few. How infinite is the cost of hatred between nations? No good can come out of war, and it is cost beyond calculation. Peacemakers are needed in all these areas. Because someone must take the initiative. This is true if enmity and strife are ever to cease, if enemies are ever to be reconciled. The heart of the gospel is that all things are of God who reconciles us to himself through Christ, and that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 19 in the ASV. God took the initiative that we might be at peace with him. Christ is the great peacemaker in our hearts. Because, as Paul said, he is our peace. Ephesians 2:14. He keeps in perfect peace those whose hearts steadfastly trust God. Isaiah 26:3. the identity of the peacemakers. Negativity. Peacemakers are not passive bystanders who in a cowardly fashion leave things alone or give in to wrong and injustice. Peacemaking does not necessarily mean one will live a quiet life. On the contrary, peacemakers are often activists. One may let the other guy have his way because he is bigger or shouts louder. This may seem prudent, but it is hardly peacemaking. The peace at any price. People who cry, peace, peace, when there is no peace, may be the real foes of peacemaking. Two, peacemakers are not meddlers. Many times people think they are making peace when they are just sticking a finger into somebody else's pie. Meddling in some quarrel that is really none of their affair. Peacemaking is often thought of as intervening in a quarrel. It ought to mean preventing a quarrel from arising in the first place. Number three, peacemakers are not indifferent. The peace of indifference is counterfeit. Some could not care less that there are millions of homeless refugees and displaced persons in the world. Some take for granted the need of the sick and lonely around them, just as the rich man in Jesus' story accepted the beggar Lazarus as a part of the street scenery. From his self-contained vintage point of plenty, he simply ignored him. His was a piece of soul that was dead, like the piece of a stagnant pool with green scum on top. Number four, peacemakers are not compromised. A formula of compromise may end a controversy, but compromise is not peace. Jesus never accepted any terms of compromise or agreed to any truth in the warfare and truth for the righteousness. Positivity. We just finished negativity. Now, let's talk about positivity. One, peacemakers are those whom work is grounded in the reconciling work of Christ. Isaiah prophesied that he would be the Prince of Peace in Isaiah 9:6. At his birth, angels sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace," Luke 2:14. He lived as a man of peace. He spoke of his own peace, which he would bestow upon humans, John 14:27. He went on to the cross He went to the cross to pay the price of peace. Well did the prophet say centuries before. In Isaiah 53:5, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And in retrospect, Paul said that Christ made peace through the blood of his cross, Colossians 1:20. Number two, peacemakers are those who work stems out of an experience whereby the peace of God in Christ has become effective in their own lives. Listen to Paul in Romans 5:1. He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? No man can be a peacemaker, either between God and man or between man and man, unless he is first at peace with God himself. Praise be to God. Number three, peacemakers are those who work finds its imperative and authority in a divine commission. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul speaks of God, who reconciles us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In verse 18 in the NIV, he goes on to say he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 19 in the NIV, in the next verse, he states the business of a Christian. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Verse 20, after the close of World War II, one of America's top executives said, we have been making the implements of war in great abundance and in great perfection. But the tools of war are not my company's real business. Peace is our business. Let every Christian say, peace is our business. Peacemakers are those who exhibit in some measure at least the character and likeness of God, whose children they are. The blessing pronounced on peacemakers. At first glance, this seems the strongest blessing in the list, for they shall be called the children of God. And when the meaning of those words sink in, we see that it is also the most wonderful blessing of them all. Two results followed. The first result is recognition. Not only are the peacemakers the children of God, but they are recognized as being so. This is not a self-recognition, nor necessary a recognition by the world, which is more apt to persecute them and call them traitors in Matthew 5:10-11. But by God himself, in his first epistle, John said, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. In John 3 and 1 in the ASV, who calls the peacemaker children of God? God does. The second result is realization. Peacemakers realize in their own hearts that they are children of God when, by the Spirit's leadership, they are used by Him to lead another into peace with God. Amen. And before I bring my message to a close, I just want to say, little does the world know of the happiness of the real followers of Christ. Little does the world think that these poor, humble, despised ones are favorites of God and will dwell in heaven. Let the followers of Christ be content with hard fare here, since they are in a land of strangers where their Lord was so badly treated before them. The sons of God must walk by faith and live by hope. They may well wait in faith, hope, and earnest desire for the revelation of the Lord Jesus. The sons of God will be known and be made manifest by likeness to their head. They shall be transformed into the same image by their view of Him. The sons of God know that their Lord is of purer eyes than to allow anything unholy and impure to dwell with us. It is the hope of hypocrisy, not of the sons of God, that make allowance for gratifying impure desires and lusts. May we be followers of Him as His dear children, thus show our sense of His unspeakable mercy and express that obedient, grateful, humbled mind which becomes us. Sin is rejecting the divine law in Him that is in Christ. There was no sin, all the weaknesses, but not the sins that were consequences of the fall. He took, that is, all those infirmities of mind or body which subject man to suffering and exposed him to temptation. But our moral infirmities, our proneness to sin, He had not. That he that abides in Christ continues not in the practice of sin. Renouncing sin is the great proof of spiritual union with Him, continuous in saving knowledge of the Lord Christ. Beware of self-deceit. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, and to be a follower of Christ shows an interest by faith in His obedience and suffering. But a man cannot act like the devil at the same time be a disciple of Christ Jesus. So let us not serve or indulge what the Son of God came to destroy. To be born of God is to be inward renewed by the power of the Spirit of God. Reviewing grace is an abiding principle. Religion is not an art, a matter of dexterity. exteriority and scale, but a new nature and the regenerated person cannot sin as he did before he was born of God, and as others do are not born again. There is that light in his mind which shows him the evil and magnitude of sin. There is that bias upon his heart which disposes him to loathe and hate sin. There is the spiritual principles that opposes sinful acts. And there is repentance for sin. If committed, it goes against him to sin with forethought. The children of God and the children of the devil have their distinct characters. Those who are the seed of the serpent are known by neglect of religion and by their hating real Christians. Those who are righteous before God as justified believers are only those taught and disposed to righteousness by the Holy Spirit. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. May all professors of the gospel lay these truths to heart and test themselves by them. Hallelujah, Jesus. And my conclusion for this message is this. Praise be to God. A pastor was seeking to win a 13-year-old girl to Christ in her home when her mother interfered. The pastor asked that mother, "Are you a Christian?" "Well," she said, "I have a hope." She had five children. Not one of them was a Christian. All were in danger of hell. While she mouthed pious phrases, how could she have known? Had she tried to be a peacemaker between any one of her children and God? And had she succeeded, she could have said, in 1 John 3:2 in the ASV Bible, "Now are we children of God, and it is not yet made manifest what we shall be." I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is to me. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. What is important is that we believe God enough to be able to say, "Father, I know I have sinned against you. I believe that Jesus is your Son, that he died for my sins, and that he rose from the dead to prove it. Now I accept your offer of eternal life. I accept Jesus as your gift for my salvation. If this is the honest expression of your heart, welcome to God's family. By simple, childlike faith, you have entered into a personal relationship with the one who made you and saved you for himself." Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you, welcome you, welcome you. And the next thing that you have to do is to find a good Bible-based church to further your relationship with Christ. Amen. And my benediction is coming from Jude 24 and 25. And it says, now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence with a single fault. All glory to him who alone is God, our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time and in the present beyond all time. And let us all say amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you till we meet again on Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. when I will come with our sweet hour of prayer. And at 7 p.m., our very own Barbara A. Amore will come with our lesson in basic theology. So God bless you. Happy Sabbath to each and every one of you. We love you and God bless. Good night, everyone.